Hey everyone, welcome to tonight's call. Let's get this started. There we go. Tonight we're going to talk about movement, another also known sometimes as exercise. And so we'll start with a quote I like, right? Physical fitness is not only one of the most important keys to a healthy body, it's the basis of a dynamic and creative intellectual activity. Okay. So, you know, right off the bat, you know, we're not really talking about exercise the way it's portrayed a lot, right, in the culture. This isn't about six packs or getting down to single digit body fat. This is really about what's more functional strength, in functional movement, I should say, even beyond strength, but really connecting to your body. You know, that's kind of what I want to make this about, because I think so often exercise has become this thing that we have a negative association to it, you know? And so really what the movement about, and I choose that word very specifically, because it's a softer word, you know? And so it's really about connecting to your body in a comfortable way. You know, certainly if you really get into it, you can push yourself. I kind of like to think of it like a spectrum. And so it's like, certainly you can go and you can exercise more and do all that. But this is about having this base level of where you're connecting to your body in a comfortable way, where you like it. You like these movements, you look forward to them. And of course, when you do that, it's easier to keep them up. Another aspect of it though, as well, you know, we talk a lot about weight loss, but I think one of the things you notice is it's not a sole focus or a majority focus on just how you're going to look. Right? We all know that. We know if you lose weight and you start to look better and feel better about yourself. But what I like to think is really on a more practical level as well, you know, and even the weight, the weight being, you know, if you get the weight down lower, your body thanks you for it, right? It's easier on your joints, you know, your mobility is better. And so, again, I find this to be a thing that a lot of people overlook. It's really one of these things that people overlook until they have to deal with it. And so we want to make this process really about being able to be functional. And so what I mean by that specifically is, you know, sometimes we can go in the gym and maybe there's a stair climber or, you know, a treadmill even, but these aren't necessarily, I mean, the stair climber, we climb stairs, so that's all right. But some of these movements aren't practical to our real life. You know, and so when I say functional, I'm talking about things like literally like getting up and out of a chair, getting on the floor and getting back up, getting in and out of a car. You know what I mean? Some practical stuff, which may sound simple. But if you think about how can I do those things comfortably, you know, I think it causes you to think a little differently. And so, you know, we talk about making it kind of simpler, more comfortable, but we also make it easy, fun, and addictive. And I truly mean that. The addictive part, you know, you've heard me talk about this before, but we want to get it to the point where we crave it. We crave, you know, the simple things we're going to be talking about, going for a walk, light movements that make us feel good, you know, because it's really not hard. I think what happens though is we typically just, we pass over that stage so quickly on our way to get these really intense exercises that we think are, you know, either going to build muscle or burn fat. And we go flying past the stage where it just feels nice to move our body. I mean, as a human, it's just, you're meant to move your body. And there's a lot of, you know, if you can tap into that, it makes everything else easier, right? Because you want to do it. And so one of the things I like to say is consistency over intensity. And I find this to be extremely important when it comes to exercising and moving, because again, most things, if you look at it, it's about building muscle, burning fat. And so it's about how can I do that the fastest possible? And so for a lot of people, their exercising is synonymous with intensity. No pain, no gain. It doesn't have to be that way. And so I'd suggest that you begin to look at the consistency of it. You know, what can you do every day? What can you do many times a week and feel good? You know, what's something you could see yourself doing forever? You know, and I want you to start thinking that way. And again, yeah, going right along with that, thinking long-term. Again, here's the thing, right? If you have a core foundation of movements, you know, and we're going to go through some of them in a moment. But if you have a core foundation of movements that in your mind, you're like, I could do these for the rest of my life. I'm telling you, having something like that is really, really powerful, right? Because the alternative to that is like, you know, when you're doing some really intense exercise, I have a client I work with. And so she used to do the Ironman competition. And so it was just super, super intense. And so when she was a little younger, she was kind of able to get herself to do it, but it was always hard. But listen, in the back of your mind, when you're relying on these really intense workout routines, in the back of your mind, you're like, I don't know how long I'll be able to do this for. And you're certainly not seeing yourself doing it in your 70s, 80s, and 90s. Okay. And that sets you up for a very certain type of failure. Because in the back of your mind, you start saying, well, I'll be able to do this for 10 more years, maybe. But then after that, you kind of have this vacuum. Well, I don't know what I'll be doing then. I'm not going to think about it. So we want to flip that around. And you want to have a core kind of movement options that you know you can do forever. Again, walking, as simple as it is, it's something you can do forever. And again, just there's a very specific type of motivation that you tap into. You know, when you really start to, when you have these strategies that you know you could do forever, it feels better. And again, you know, it's not all or nothing. Excuse me. It's not all or nothing. It's forever. And again, this needs to be mentioned because I think I know certainly I fall into this with the exercising. When I'm doing intense exercising, my pattern in life has been that I will do it for a little while and then I will not do it for a long time. And so, again, I think one of the good things, I've kind of dropped that. I mean, again, some stages I go through, I get, you know, extra motivated and extra focused. That's fine. However, I've always had the core movements, you know, for the last 20 years that, again, I know I can do forever. And I specifically chose them when I was 20. So, cause I knew I'd be able to do them forever. And so again, it feels nice to have that in my back pocket. So a few benefits of movements, you know, just a little bit different way to think about it. But the first one is to become more physically comfortable. And I love comfort, right? It's something, again, it's such a subtle thing, you know, that it's easy to overlook it. But if, you know, if your knees are creaking, you're having trouble bending over, again, if you're struggling with certain functional movements, I want you to think like, okay, what can I do to make just basic, simple life movements more comfortable? Because it's not that hard. I just think we go way overboard with it. You know, so I see so many people, right? They haven't worked out in many years. They're way out of shape. Maybe they're carrying a lot of extra weight around. And they go for this really intense workout routine. And typically what ends up happening is they end up hurting themselves, or at the very least, they're really tired, they're sore, right? They're not getting any benefit out of it, you know, at least not for a long time. I worked out really, really hard muscle-wise a few years ago, and I did it for a whole year. I never really felt that great physically. That's me. Again, some people may feel different. So again, this is always unique to you. But again, one of the points is we want to be comfortable now and in the future, right? Greater flexibility. I think flexibility, a lot of times, again, it's overlooked. And it's really, I think it's one of the keys to a happier life. You know, when you feel good in your body, when you can move comfortably, you know, when your body feels good. And flexibility is a big part of that. In yoga, they have a saying that you're as old as your spine is flexible. And so I've always loved that, you know? So again, our muscles hold on to tension. And so we have to learn to relax them and we can encourage this flexibility. And then as we get older, it's the same thing, you know, postural defects, the way our tightness in our body, it gets exacerbated as we get older. Okay. And so again, I think it's, if you want to have a super quality life as you get older, I think flexibility needs to be on your radar, and it's not hard. I know for me anyways, that I had a real negative association with flexibility. But I'll just tell you real quick that really what flexibility is all about is relaxation. So I think a lot of times people actually bring a lot of tension into their flexibility training, but really it's about relaxing your muscles completely and totally. And it feels nice. Strength, right? So again, as you move more, right? Even walking, right? Some people look at walking as it's not a big deal, but it certainly builds up muscles. It keeps you balanced. It keeps you stronger in your core. And of course, there's also other movements, routines you can do, exercise routines you can do that'll make you stronger. And again, this is going to increase the quality of your life, you know, now and as you get older. And again, all this leads to increased mobility. And this has got to be on your radar. I mean, I don't know. I don't, again, only being at this point 44, but I've been thinking about mobility since I was 20. Because I didn't have great mobility then. I was very tense. And so I believe I have better mobility now. Okay. But no matter what age you are, I really think in your mind, you have to be preparing for to have better mobility when you're older, because you can absolutely have it. I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. You know, if you have a consistent movement routine in your life that you're doing daily or close to daily, you can have this mobility as you get older. Okay. Improved moods. Right? It just makes you feel better. Your body was designed. It's a machine that's evolved over millions of years to move. And so literally the chemicals in your brain change. right? The hormones in your body change when you start moving more. And so in London or in England, if someone comes in depressed, the first thing they'll do before they prescribe any medication is they have to start a light movement exercise routine, because they're intricately linked. Okay. And again, it doesn't have to be an intense routine. It's just something where you're moving your body. You need to move your body. Okay. Better stamina, right? Without question. You know, lung capacity and energy is something that you can develop, or you can let it atrophy, right? So again, you can have more stamina when you're moving more. So let's talk about flexibility real quick, because again, I just find this to be something that's overlooked so much. And I really believe, you know, so many things I think come back to tightness in the body. You know, physically, mentally, emotionally, I think tightness in the body leads to all kinds of problems. And it gets worse as we get older. Sometimes, again, if we don't have these movement routines in our life, we just get tighter and tenser and more closed in and closed in. Okay. So flexibility training is really, really key here. And so it helps improve physical comfort and mobility, right? Literally, your body feels better. You know, it feels looser. It feels better in your body. You're able to move more easily. You know, it helps prevent injuries. Right? So again, the more you can kind of move, you know, the less likely you are to fall down. You know, the more balance, the better your balance is. Right? Improve posture and breathing. Right. So this is absolutely true. When you're doing flexibility training, like I said, it's really about relaxing, you know? And so as you're relaxing your body, one of the key ways you're doing that is you're connecting to your breath. And in order to breathe properly, you need to have proper posture, right? You need to give your lungs the room and the space to expand and contract properly. And posture is a big part of that. It also leads to increased blood flow and nutrients to the soft tissue. So, I mean, like, this is just, I just put that in there just as a subtle, kind of deeper explanation of what's going on. It's not just like, I'm just making this stuff up. I mean, it's really like your body literally functions differently when you're moving more. Okay, so a few simple flexibility training ideas, and this doesn't have to be intense. And like I said, I just want to point out real quick, because again, I went into this as well. I remember when I was a kid, I remember trying to touch my toes and I couldn't do it, but I remember struggling to reach the ground. It was a struggle, and I was very tense and tight trying to push my hands down to the ground. And as I began to study yoga, what I realized, it wasn't about the strain. It wasn't about trying to push myself down. It was about standing properly, relaxing, letting the muscles soften up, loosen up. And as they loosen up, they lengthened up, right? And so again, I was 180 degrees wrong in how I thought I was become flexible. And as I've studied it for many years now, what I realized, it was completely the other way. So it's not even just flexibility in your muscles. It's really flexibility in your mind, you know, and even in your spirit, getting to that level. So again, I just want to bring that to you. It's a very gentle, soft experience, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And that has all kinds of benefits to it. So some simple ideas, right? So the body circling routine, and you have that, you know, in the program, you can go check that out and follow along with it. But it's real simple. And again, here's the thing, right? This is why I make a big deal out of this, because you could watch me do body circles, right? So just simply, you circle your head around, you know, one direction, then you do that for a moment, then you do it the other direction. You circle your shoulders kind of backwards to forwards and then switch direction. You could circle your arms, like literally just moving in a big circle, then switch direction, then do the other arm, both directions. You can circle your body at your waist, okay, and then you switch direction. Circle your knees, kind of keep them together and just make little circles with them, switch direction. And then circle your ankles, okay, and then switch direction. And so, you know, someone watching this, oh, what's that doing? It's doing a lot. It's loosening up your body. And again, the more you do this, the more you'll realize how tight you are. Right. So if you haven't done any of this stuff, you probably just feel tight. And the first time you do this stuff, again, it can be overwhelming, because when you do this stuff, you become aware of just how tight you are. Certainly what I went through, and I was 19 when I first started doing it. So you're going to find yourself tight, but it's okay. You know, literally finding your body tight and then starting to freak out and then letting that go is just as, you know, as beneficial. The mental letting it go and the emotional letting it go is just as valuable and important as the physically, you know, kind of letting things go and relaxing things. So the body circling routine is super duper. I do it all the time. It's really great to do in the morning, because your body's tight in the morning, you know, from laying down in one spot. And then again, doing it before bed, it is helpful. It just kind of relieves the kinks and it feels nice. Okay. A 2-minute yoga routine. Again, it's really the sun salutation and you can take it to any level you want. There's a sun salutation in the program. You can follow along with that. Or you just Google it on Google, right? There's lots of different sun salutations. Pick a simple one. You know, it doesn't have to be a crazy thing. There are sun salutations that are crazy intense. And there's sun salutations that are very simple. So you modify everything to where you are at. But this 2-minute yoga routine, again, this is one I do absolutely every single night before I go to bed, every night of the year. And most mornings when I wake up, I do this. Okay. Because again, it gets the blood flowing. It stretches the body out, makes it feel more comfortable. Right. So again, you guys have access to the comfortable yoga program. That's what it's all about. It's just about being comfortable, feeling good in your body. So again, those are two great ones. Now they're not that hard, right? Can you do more yoga? Obviously, you know, could you do Pilates or other flexibility training? Yeah, obviously. But this is all about consistency. These are two very, very simple routines that are easy to start with and they're very easy to maintain. And the thing is, you do them the first time you do them. And if you've been doing them for 20 years, it always feels nice. It's not like, you know, something that you lift weights or do cardio. It's like you're doing it for some future goal. You know what I mean? Like you want to build muscle and look different or burn more fat, or if you want to build up your stamina. So again, the goal, you know, the reward is down the road there. With body circles and 2-minute yoga and anything else that's just real comfortable and easy to do, the result and the goal is instantly achieved. Instantly. It just feels nice right from the get-go. And that's how you know you're doing it right. Again, on a simple level. So let's talk a little bit about resistance training, right? Again, this is important too, right? Again, it's going to lead to a better quality of life. And so simply resistance training is anything, lifting weights, lifting bands, body weight, right? Anything where there's some resistance and you're pushing against it, right? It helps to build some muscle. And so obviously it increases muscle mass. That's helpful because again, it helps with our mobility, right? It helps us be able to climb stairs, getting out of cars more comfortably, right? We feel stronger. We can move better. The more muscle, the more fat we burn. 24 hours a day. Again, fat burns more muscle. Muscle burns more fat, fat does. And so burns more calories. So, you know, again, that's going to be, there's a great program a couple of years ago called the Fat Burning Machine. And so basically this was a theory that the more muscle you add to your body, the more calories your body's consuming, 24 hours a day. Because again, muscle consumes more calories than fat does. So that's a benefit to it. Boost bone density. Okay. So again, that's helpful, protecting ourselves for the long term, supports healthier hormone production. Okay. So again, especially for men, you know what I mean? Kind of boost the testosterone. So that's helpful, but even in women, again, the muscle just helps regulate our bodies more, you know, makes everything easier. So here are a few simple strength training ideas, right? Just simple stuff, pushups, right? And again, if pushups are too hard for you, right, you can modify them, right? You can do wall pushups. Again, it's not about, I want to point this out, it's not about no pain, no gain, where you have to really hurt yourself and feel, struggle with it and feel uncomfortable to get, you know, some goal. This is about feeling good in the moment. And so you can modify, you can do wall pushups where you basically, you know, you stand a foot or two away from a wall and you just push against it. Now, again, you got to figure this out. You know, you play with your hands and where it feels right. But again, at first you're just, so when you do this, you're only pushing a fraction of your weight, but you're still working your muscles out. Again, you're lengthening them. You're contracting them. You're stretching them. You're building them up a little bit. Okay. So again, don't write this stuff off, I guess is what I'm saying. A lot of times people are like, oh, and this is the all or nothing thing I was talking about. If it's not all right, if it's not this intense workout program, what's the point of doing it? You know? And so this is going 100% against that. Those things are fine. You know what I mean? If you really want to get into it and go that direction, that's fine. But if you don't want to go that direction, there's an alternative and it's very valuable. I think we have a tendency to write these things off because like, what's wall pushups going to do? Well, do them. You'll feel it. You'll feel stronger. You literally will feel stronger. So I think when you think of these simpler movement strategies I'm sharing with you, again, kind of building on what we talked about last week, the secret is to not just focus on physical. There's obviously physical benefits from this stuff, and we know what those are. But I think the real benefit is the mental and emotional part. Mental and emotionally, because it also creates a sense of consistency in you. So even if like you make part of your morning routine, like, I'm going to do 10 wall pushups, Right. Now again, are you going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? No, obviously not. But it's like you start your day and you get the blood flowing. You feel a bit stronger. You feel like you did something, right? You're consistently doing it, starts to shift your self-image. And that's going to go and affect how you're eating and how you go about your day. Okay. Squats, again, are another huge one. Again, it's the largest muscle chain in your body is from your thighs up through your back. Okay. So squats really help with that. And again, squats can be, there's a whole range of them. You understand? So it doesn't have to be, there's obviously the hardest one are the ones squats with weights on your shoulders and you're going down, you do them. I'm not doing those, right? I wouldn't do that to my knees. That's not my thing. But what I will do is I'll do them. I do kind of a middle one. Chair squats, you know, again, are basically you hold onto a chair and you just go down about a foot or so. Okay. Again, you're going to feel the blood in your muscles. And then there's kind of a middle one where you don't use a chair and you can just, you know, basically put your arms out in front of you and squat down, back up. Again, 10 of those in the morning, right? It feels nice. You feel better. And so I'm not going to convince you of it. I just want you, if you try it one day, like literally you could do two squats, you could do two wall pushups and you will feel a lot better. Try it out. Right? Let me know how it works out for you. Then there's walking, right? Walking is one of my favorite. It's really the one I go to. I'm not as consistent as I want to be. You know, so I'm always working it more and more consistent with this. But walking, I'm such a huge fan of. In essence, it's the most natural kind of quote unquote exercise. We are literally hardwired to walk a lot, you know? And so I think everything in your body improves health-wise when you're walking more consistently, okay? You improve your circulation, you know, your whole circulatory system gets stronger and that has lots of obvious benefits to it. It improves your mood, right? Because your circulation improves, because you're taking in more oxygen, you know, exhaling more. It's the way your body is meant to run. Right? And so there's lots of benefits. So it improves your mood, makes you feel better. And again, I'm a big fan. I'll speak to this. This is where I think, you know, if you had the choice between walking outside or walking on a treadmill, I'd go outside. Okay. Because again, even sensory wise, what's the name for it? It's called like a biophile. What that means basically is that all humans, this is the theory, that all humans are in love with being outside. Why? Because we evolved for millions of years being outside, right? In nature. And so, you know, we're at the point now in life where we could literally be hardly ever outside, you know, and I'm going to be honest, I need to be outside more. I want to be outside more. So anyways, though, but the point of it is, again, what am I saying to you here is that I want you to expand. It's not even just physical. And that's why I think a lot of people are like, oh, walking, is not sound enough, right? Because they're thinking they have to do some crazy thing so they can have, again, big muscles or, you know, low body fat. Again, that's all fine. I'm not saying anything against that. But what I want you to look at the walking, and I think it'll boost up your value you place on it, is to recognize the physical, mental, and emotional benefits. Okay. And it feels nice to be outside. It feels nice to be moving your body. It feels nice to be breathing, you know, fresh air. Okay. So there's a lot more to it. It supports a better self-image just simply because anything you do consistently, that's good. Like it could be really little. I mean, if you really think about it, you know, we wouldn't think of it this way, but even brushing your teeth, you know, that's usually one of the most consistent, healthy things people do. And it can feel good. Again, we don't think about it too much, but it's like, you know, that's a nice thing to do. That you've trained yourself to do. It's good for you. And so walking is the same thing. But I think it's even better because it makes you feel even better, you know, when you walk. So again, check it out. It strengthens muscles, right? So again, we don't think of this, but walking absolutely strengthens muscles, you know? And so of course, you know, if you, there's other ways to strengthen muscles too, but don't think that walking is doing nothing. And I don't know, I just say this because I've had conversations with people where they really minimize the value of walking and end up doing nothing, but they really think walking doesn't matter. It does. And so it strengthens, you know, not only your leg muscles, it strengthens up your back muscles, your stomach, abdominal muscles, even your shoulders, you're holding yourself up. Okay. So it helps all of those. So how to walk more, right? Here's just a few simple ideas. Start small and choose a time. Right. Again, we focus on a routine. You want to think of it like a habit container. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, say you're going to walk at, you know, I don't know, 3 p.m. That's when I go for a walk. Now, here's the thing, right? You can have some flexibility in that, right? So maybe, you know, Monday and Tuesday, you're able to go for an hour walk. And maybe, you know, Tuesday and Thursday, you only got 15 minutes. who cares? You know, so if you put it the same time, it's going to make it easier to install. And then if you miss that time, you know, try and make it up somewhere. Okay. But again, start small. It doesn't have to be a long time because we're just looking to install the routine. And so if it's easier for you to get started, I'm just going to do 5 minutes. You know, that might seem less daunting, as silly as that may sound. But literally, just getting outside and going for a 5 minute walk is better than doing no walk. Okay. So it doesn't compare everything against zero. Park further away from store entrances, right? It's just a little trick you can do, right? Again, don't minimize it, right? It's better than nothing. Yeah. Take the stairs, you know, again, that's an opportunity. I'll put one more thing, and I didn't put it on here, but kind of a cool thing. And I don't know, I know iPhone does it, and I'm sure there's an app in Android phones that will do it, or you can get a Fitbit, but you can get step counters now, right? And I find those to be kind of fun. And, you know, they track everything automatically, you know, at least the iPhone one does. So it's kind of cool just to look at that. And it starts to put in your mind, it gives you an understanding of what's how many steps are what. You know, so literally, if you park from like, you know, farther away from the store, you know, maybe you get like an extra 100 or 200 steps, right? So again, you know, those little things add up though, right? And it changes the way you think, and it changes your body over time. All right. So let's talk about a few other movement strategies, just to put some ideas in your head. Dancing, right? So if you used to dance and you haven't danced in a while, right? Go think of a dance class. Can you move in your body? Right? Even dancing, you're moving muscles, you're working on your balance, right? You're doing quick steps, slow steps, graceful steps. All those things are beautiful, right? Those are going to serve you as you get older. Tai Chi is super duper. You know, I'm such a huge fan of Tai Chi. I love it. Again, that idea of moving gracefully, you know, it just has a whole thing to it. Again, talk about physical, mental, and emotional. You know what I mean? It really combines all those. And it feels really nice. You know, you feel connected to your body. In a positive way. And let me just talk about that real quick, because I mentioned this earlier, you know, this idea of being comfortable. And this is what I mean. For a lot of people, their main interaction with their body is a negative one, right? Meaning, oh God, I don't like how I look. Oh, my knees hurt. My back, ooh, I feel tight. Oh, I'm sore. You know what I mean? It's all this negative stuff. And so you've got to have some positive things, some things that are just there, just so you can have a positive association to it. Because listen, we all have negative stuff. I mean, we're never going to get rid of that, because as we get older, that exasperates it anyways. But there's always kind of aches and pains and sore and pulls and all this stuff. That's life. That's what's going to happen. And so what you're looking to do, again, just one more kind of way to think about this, is you're looking to put some positive things on the other side to balance it out a bit. You know, where you have some opportunity to feel good in your body, to just feels nice. Right. And Tai Chi certainly does that. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. If you've never done it, I would strongly suggest it. Yoga, right? I mean, you know, I'm a huge yoga fan. It's so great. Again, there's all kinds of yogas too, right? From chair yoga all the way to, you know, these crazy yogas. And so you just pick what works for you, you know. But again, what it does, very similar to Tai Chi in that sense, is that it helps you reconnect to your body in a positive way, quiet your mind down, quiet your body down. It just feels nice. You know, you feel more comfortable in your body. Hiking and geocaching, right? So hiking, again, is another lifelong, you know, habit or routine or exercise program, whatever you want to think about it. And I'll tell you, too, one thing, and I didn't realize this. I read an article a couple months ago. And one thing about hiking, it really is one of those lifetime activities. And a lot of times people don't think about that. And I didn't really think about that. But it was a whole article about all these people that were in their 90s hiking, crazy hiking too, by the way. And a lot of them hadn't even started until they were in their 60s. I found that to be I should find that article. It was very inspiring. But here's the thing, right? Hiking, it's a very, very, your body was born to hike, to walk in natural environments, right? So it doesn't have to be hiking up, you know, Mount Everest. It's not hiking up crazy mountains or crazy terrain. It's just walking in nature, walking in a forest, walking up hills in a natural environment. That's what your body was made to do. And so if you start doing that, again, in your mind, I want you to put the expectation that's a lifetime activity, lifetime behavior, because you really build up talk about functional strength, because you're walking, but you're walking, you're moving over rocks, jumping over things, you're working on your balance, everything's getting worked out. So that's a wonderful, wonderful movement strategy. Geocaching, if you don't know, it's kind of a newish thing. It's pretty cool. Basically, you can download an app or however you want to do it, and you'll look for geocaches. Are people put like canteens, and they'll hide them in the woods somewhere, and they'll basically give you the coordinates, and you take your phone, you basically use a compass almost, and it kind of brings you to the general area, and then you find the geocache and you can sign something or leave something, take something. It's fun to do. So go Google it. It's cool. And what it does basically is it layers over almost like a treasure hunt kind of layer over hiking. Right. So what it does, it gives it more purpose, which makes it fun. It's really fun to do, with my kids. We love it. But even on my own, it's just fun to do. It's fun looking for hidden things. So anyways, I'd look into that. It's cool. Pilates, again, right? A little more intense. But again, people love it. Why not? Again, stretching feels incredible. You know, the less tense your body is, the better you feel. So that's that. Zumba, again, right? Well, you can take that as hard or as fast as you want, but it's fun. Again, right? Nothing wrong with layering fun over our movement, right? I want to get you out of the idea that this mindless, painful thing that you have to do. It does not. Swimming, again, another lifetime sport. It's really easy on the body. Right? In the water, you deals with the effects of gravity a bit. So that's a real comfort one. If you have a Y around you, right, there's classes, that you can take. And again, it's just one more way to move your body, use your muscles and inhale more oxygen. Sports, again, what I mean by that again is that, it's like this. If you have to watch a TV mindlessly or just distract yourself with music because it's so boring or it's so tedious or it's so painful to do the exercise, I would say that's a real good indication that you should look for something else, because all of these things here, it's a mind-body experience, right? Meaning you're paying attention to what you're doing. You're present in the moment, right? And so again, sports fall into that as well, because again, it's almost like you have a goal. There's a purpose for what your body is doing. It's not just this mindless thing of just pushing weights in the air. Right. And so that can help a lot with motivation, which ultimately affects consistency. Okay. So, all right, everyone. So again, I just want to point some ideas out, and this by no way, no means is a exhaustive list, right? I'm sure there's other things as well. So that's what I'm saying to you though. The main thing is, find things that you don't dread and at the very minimum, at the very least, don't dread it. Cause again, if you dread it, you always have to force yourself to do it. And that's a short-term strategy by definition. And then look for things that, again, you get into. I should have put golf on here. That's definitely a movement, especially if you're walking, right? And so that's a great sport. And what happens is your mind's in it, right? You've got some, now I want to hit this, I want this. So you're engaged, right? When you're engaged, you're going to find it's much more likely that you'll continue it, that you'll want to do it, right? And so I think all of these things listed here, really are representative of that. And there's other things out there I'm just not thinking of. So if you find something that you're engaged in, you're moving your body, super. Right? That's what you're looking for. So it's going to increase your ability to do it, longer and easier. Cool. All right. Let's see what it's got to say here. How far did the program go while I waited to join? Yeah. Sorry about that, everyone. I was a few minutes late tonight, so I don't think you missed too much. Yep. My brother riding a bike makes his knees feel better. Yeah. Super. I didn't mention this too. I want to mention this. I have a family member who I'm super close to, and for whatever reason, he doesn't really listen to me in terms of this stuff here, even though he's kind of struggles with his weight and his health a little bit. But here's the thing. He, in his mind, and this is a great example of what I'm talking about tonight, him in his mind, he thinks he needs to run in order to lose weight and be healthy. Now, at the same time, he has his knees really hurt sometimes to the point that he almost can't walk. But he has this belief that he has to run in order to lose the weight. And it's absolutely not true. I mean, if you look at it, clearly there's starts and stops, and his running, might last a month, and then he'll be out of commission for 3 to 4 months. And so, I don't know what got me onto that. Oh, cause you said your brother. That's smart, right? If something hurts you and it's uncomfortable, you're just stacking the deck against yourself. There's just too many options to think that you have to do something that's uncomfortable or unpleasant to you. Okay. So riding a bike, if that's what you like, yeah. And I didn't put riding a bike. I should have. I don't know why I didn't put that on there. I'm going to put that on right now because I do this. Hold on 1 second. I really want to put this because not only that, I actually with the bike, my son just learned to ride a bike like really on his own now. And I'm so excited because one of the other things I've kind of discovered in the last couple of years is bike paths, right? And so this is almost along the thing of walking, because a lot of these bike paths are just flat paved pavement, you know? So some people say, oh, that's not much exercise. You know, God, you know what I mean? Like it is to me anyways, you know? So it feels really good. So biking, yeah, it's a super, super duper one. Yeah, and it's right. It's easier on the knees, right? I think that's real smart. I didn't put running down. And I'm going to tell you, I do not think I believe in running. I don't mind trail running. You know what I mean? I think there's an argument to be made for that. I think that's fine. I do that sometimes and I enjoy it. But the difference between running on pavement and running in the woods is absolutely night and day. And I don't know, maybe it's because my knees, I played lots of basketball when I was younger. I don't know. To each his own, I'll leave it at that. But let's put this in there, that if something's unpleasant or uncomfortable on you, look for something else. Look for these things that are easier for you. Connie says, I love bike riding. Found out that I had to work hard to reprogram my balance on one leg after a long time of not doing my yoga poses. One older lady said it can be lost if one waits too long. So that's true. And I think you're referring to two things. I think you're love bike riding, because they always say, right, you never forget how to ride a bike. But I think you're referring to something different with the balance on one leg. If that's true, I definitely have that. If I don't do certain yogas, my balance is affected. It doesn't stay the same. Balance is affected as you get older as well. So it's not a bad idea to incorporate, in addition to kind of like the body circles or the sun salutation, is to do kind of like there's a tree pose where you basically stand on one leg and then you stand on the other leg. Not a bad idea, because why? Yeah, it builds up muscle, whatever else. But here's the thing. As we get older, what are some of the main things we got to protect ourselves from? Losing our balance and falling over and breaking hips, you know? So working on the balance now, because I always look at, like, if I start now, and I've thought this literally since I was 19, I'm like, if I start doing this yoga now, it'll just always, again, I'll have to go through that initial phase, but then I'll just be like, I'm just doing yoga. I'm just stretching, whatever. And even when I'm 90, it'll still feel the same. I'll have increased flexibility that I developed, you know, over a long time. So whatever age you're at, I would strongly recommend putting a base routine like that in there. Just some simple stuff where you're stretching the backs of your legs, your back, you know, the big muscle groups, and then adding some balance in that can be helpful as well. Yeah, ankles are especially important. Yeah, all the joints, right? Ankles, knees, and the hips. You know, and there's stuff that makes them feel so good. You know, it's crazy. It's like, it's almost like we're so screwed up in this country because we live in a symptom base. We live with a medical system that really is there to deal with symptoms because that's where the money is. I'm just going to go out. That's what I believe anyways. And so typically people think more in terms of like, they think like, I'll get hurt and then I'll have to do like physical rehab, you know, or physical therapy. And I flip that around. I'm like, I'd rather do the physical therapy now. So I don't, it's not as likely that I get hurt. And the physical therapy in my mind is yoga. You know, they're kind of similar a lot of times. And there's some physical therapies I could add too that would be even better. But so again, the idea is I want to keep myself, you know, loose and strong and flexible so that I can avoid some of these common issues. Okay. And so I would suggest you adopt kind of that same idea. Yeah. Pat says, I always feel good when I take the time to exercise, even if it's just for 10 minutes. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, you could literally put that down to 1 minute. Now, I'm not saying you don't want to do 1 minute every day. That's not what I'm saying. But you want to do at least 1 minute every day, right? Because again, remember this too. I didn't write this, but I should have. There's a yoga saying, right? The hardest posture is to get on the mat. And so there's always this barrier to start any sort of movement, anything. And one of the biggest barriers we have is I don't have time for it. And so if you, in your mind, if you're like, well, I'm going to do it for 1 minute every day, what you will find as soon as you start with that 1 minute, a lot of times, if you don't have anything going on, you'll do that 1 minute, you'll get there started and you'll keep going. Because again, getting started is the hardest part. And if you do it, again, if you're doing activities that are gentle on you and comfortable and feel good and are enjoyable, you get past that 1 minute, you get started, you want to keep going, right? Because you like it. It's fun. Okay. So it's true. Yeah. Literally 10 minutes, 1 minute. It all makes you feel better. Every time I do those sun salutations at night, and sometimes I literally just blast through them in like, you know, probably 40 seconds. I always feel better after I've done them, a lot better. So I want you to remember that and pay attention to that. All right. So Connie writes, okay, so right now I'm very physically active with gardening. Great. Oh yeah. That's a good one too. Including pulling pails of water to dump on the trees, lugging boxes up and downstairs, painting rooms, etc. Does that all count? Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to write that in there too. I just forget this stuff sometimes. There's so many things I want to mention. If I do this presentation again. I wanted to mention those because I mentioned those in other times. And here's the thing. Here's what I want to tell you, Connie. Start framing those, right? Because again, we want to think physical, mental, emotional, right? And so is gardening physically as much exercise as going to the gym and lifting weights for 30 minutes or doing cardio for 30 minutes? No. But is it a lot more than sitting on the sofa? Yeah, it's way more. And so what I want you to do is when you're cleaning, when you're gardening, when I mow the lawn, I think I consider it exercise. I do the opposite of what a lot of people do, where a lot of people are always dismissing everything. It's, oh, that's not exercise. Oh, I clean the house. Oh, that's not exercise. That's not exercise. And it is. It absolutely is. You're moving your body. You're breathing harder. You're moving muscles. You're working your balance. So absolutely. I just read a study too. It was a book called Counterclockwise, and it's awesome. It's so crazy. So I'll tell you, I'll just give you the quick overview of it. Basically, it took a group of 70-year-old men, and they had them live in this monastery, but they took the monastery and they made it, they decked it all out. So it was the same style. These guys were 70 years old, and they created an environment that was like it was 1950. So it was 20 years younger. I'm not making this clear. They lived as if it was 20 years earlier. They were all 70 years old. And so they set up an environment that mimicked what it was like 20 years earlier. So they put papers out that were talking about politics and the news from 20 years earlier. They had magazines out that were from 20 years earlier. Music was playing on the radio from 20 years earlier. So they basically created this environment that was basically from 20 years earlier. After, I think they lived there a few weeks. After they left, they measured, you know, a bunch of their physical signs. They all improved. Just across the board, their emotions improved, their physical health improved. It was amazing. So they literally, because they put their mindset back into their 20-year earlier mindset, it literally affected their body. And this lady did another study where she told these housekeepers, she said they were getting a full, you know, exercise routine based on what they were doing. And they took another group and said, oh, this doesn't even matter what you're doing. And again, the ones that were told that their house cleaning ritual was a whole exercise routine, they lost weight, they improved with their health markers. It was nuts. So that really, I was happy to hear that. I've been doing this for a while, but you want to make everything seem like it's exercise. Do you know what I'm saying? I think we live in a culture where it's the opposite of that, where we're like, oh, if I'm not sweating, if I'm not wearing this, I'm not killing myself, I'm not sore the next day, that doesn't count. I think that's how we typically are trained to think. I'd like you to do the opposite. It's not going to mean that you're not going to like go do the dishes and be like, "Woo, all right, I did my exercise for the day." That's not typically what happens. What happens is exercise begets more exercise. And so if you go and do the dishes, you're like, "Wow, I was standing there, I build up my back muscles. Oh, I just cleaned just vacuumed all the house. All right, I'm working my muscles out. You know, I just did gardening. I'm pulling these pails. I'm doing this. I'm strengthening myself. I'm getting balance." They're all positive suggestions. And I think the more you put in that in your head and the more you feel like you're being more active and being stronger and moving more, the more that you get. Right? Because without question, our mindset and how we're approaching this stuff is going to affect us. So yes, Connie, I would absolutely, I mean, those things are all physically active anyways. Gardening is absolutely exercise. But a lot of times I don't think of it that way. But clearly it is. You're lifting things, you're bending over, all the things that are going to keep you young. That's simple, right? Passes, I try and do what I call exercise bursts five to 10 times a day. They can be short bursts of any activity. And usually I look pretty silly doing them. Well, super. That's super duper, right? That's what I mean. You can be creative with this stuff. That's what I guess. I want to take the chains off. So it's you don't have to go to a gym. You don't have to lift weights. You don't have to, feel like you're killing yourself running, you know, so you can't breathe and you know the cardio stuff, which a lot of times sucks. You can really, integrate these things and look for opportunities within your day, right? And build them up. Pat writes, wow, Connie, that sounds great. You are not only being active, but getting stuff done at the same time. Good for you. Yeah, super, right? And again, I do the same thing. I consider, so it makes me want to, I did this a couple of years ago and very intentionally. Like when I clean, I considered exercising. And on top of that, like you just said, Pat mentioned, you're getting things done at the same time. That's a double endorphin release. You know, because they did a study where when people mark things off their to-do list, they get an endorphin release. And so I remember that was a real turning point for me in terms of cleaning. Like all of a sudden I was like, oh, you know what? Cleaning makes me feel really good. And it does. Like, I love, like, I don't know, you know, the bathroom's clean. It just makes me happy, you know? And I get an extra bonus off that because in my mind, I'm saying I'm also, you know, I'm working out, I'm bending over, I'm cleaning stuff. It's a little bit of cardio, you know? So again, I'd rather go that direction than being like, oh, that doesn't count. That's nothing. You know, I don't want to do that. So let's see what else we got. Yeah, the burst. That's a good idea. The burst things is super. So if you can put that in your life, that's great. You know, and I will say that that's another benefit too. I didn't really mention this, but the more often you can do it, the more frequency throughout a day, that's even better. You know, it's going to put you in a peak state multiple times. Yeah. So Connie says, I love hiking. Yeah, it's super. Been meaning to get into geocaching for ages. Yeah, it's wicked fun. It's really, really fun to do. And Pat asked what geocaching is. Again, it's just people hide stuff in places. You know, some of it's in deep woods, some of it's just in parks. And you could look up like geocaching.com or something, and you can put your zip code in, and it'll show you all the geocaches that are around. And you can, you know, it'll give you clues of where they're at. And then you take your phone, and it'll give you coordinates. So you just kind of follow the coordinates. So it's pretty fun. Jolene writes, I've started doing some simple things while I'm waiting for our copier at work. It's really slow. Thankfully, it's an empty classroom, so I have plenty of space. I do some squats, lunges, and marching. Wow, that's awesome. This is great. Yes, you guys know, right? You've been doing this stuff for a while. You know, listen to all this stuff. So that's great. That's great. That is perfect. That's what I mean. You know, as soon as you free yourself of the gym or these intense workout routines, you kind of free yourself up to recognize opportunities, you know, in a typical day. And I think there's a lot of benefit to that, in addition to just physical, but mental and emotional as well. Yeah, because Pat, yeah, you got it right on the money, I think. Nothing feels as good as making the most of our time. Agreed, 1,000%. Jolie says, I look pretty silly if someone walks in. Yeah, right. Oh, sure, who cares? Oh, that's funny. let's see. This is awesome. You guys got a lot going on here. Yeah, Connie. Yeah, Connie. You guys are good. You guys always. I need translators to just simplify what I'm saying here. But Connie says geocaching is treasure hunting with a GPS. That's a lot better than my 10-minute stumbling, mumbling explanation. It's super fun, and I will say it's extra fun. It's fun to do anyways, but to kids, it's super fun to find stuff in the woods. It's neat. And my son, I mean, he'll find like, you know, like a 10-cent like plastic soldier toy, and it's like. You know what I mean? It's like the highlight of his day. So it's wicked fun to bring kids to as well. Yeah, let's see. Yes, balancing is a separate topic. No, I knew that, Connie. I kind of figured that out. Yeah. But balance, I'm glad you brought that up though, because yeah, that's, I didn't really talk about that either, but flexibility, balancing. See, these are functional things that we get overlooked in our quest for physical perfection. but the reality of your life is that you being able to get up and down out of chairs, you know, up and down from the sofa, in and out of cars, up and down the stairs, you know, in the later years of your life, those are going to be the more important things to you. And so you want to set yourself up for those now. Again, I call it, that's functional movements, things that you're going to use every day. That says, I like that, Jim. Anyone can do 1 minute and that will turn into a lot more. Yep. Same with my exercise bursts. I always end up doing more and having fun doing them. Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, it's really you want to lower that barrier to entry as low as possible, you know? And again, what you'll find is 1 minute, you know, here's the thing. So at night, like I'll just do 1 minute. I'll just blast those sun salutations out of the way. Cause if I don't, I'll lay in bed feeling guilty. So I don't even do that at all anymore. I'll just do the sun salutations. But sometimes I'll just literally do them in like 30, 40 seconds and I'm in bed. But that's not what I like to do. I like, because yoga feels nice and it's comfortable and feels good, I want to do more of it usually. You know, sometimes I'm really tired or whatever's going on. I just want to go to bed, but that's really rare. But again, that barrier is low. So I know I can do 30 seconds and I do it every single night. But most of the time I'm going 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes because it feels nice. Okay. Yeah. Pat says age is in your head. Yeah, it absolutely is. I'm going to do a lesson on that. That book, because it was crazy. It was really profound. Oh man, that lady's smart too. She, the psychology of possibility. I can't wait to share that with you. So that's going to be coming up. Yeah. Connie says, yeah, cool. I'd like to return to an earlier, more active time. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to see how much of it's mental. I gotta say, I'm a hypnotist, but this book really, wow. And they did this study on the age, and how much of it's mental. And we always hear that, you know, but to actually see a study in multiple kind of proofs of it, was really, really impressive. So, yeah, I can't wait to share that with you. You know, counting sessions, just clearing out the whole house. Yeah. Right. Think about that. Right. Again, classify that as exercise. Again, I don't think you're going to get lazy. I think that's what people are afraid of. That if they, well, if I say everything's exercise, I'm never going to do anything. I find that it's the opposite. So that's my opinion. Oh, look at Connie, right? Can I challenge everyone to do one geocaching activity by next Tuesday? Yep. Most local parks have something hidden to find. That's an awesome challenge, right? So everyone, if you want to do that, go ahead. Like I said, you get your phone, you can download an app, and it's really cool. A lot of them, and they even rate them, you know what I mean? Like there's easy, medium, hard ones. So you can start with an easy one. Sometimes, I mean, they're literally just like in the parking lot. So say you go like a state park, there might be like two geocaches right in the parking lot. Like you could find them in 5 minutes, and then there'll be a medium difficulty where you have to walk, you know, 15 minutes to find them. And then there's the hard one where it's the top of the mountain. You know what I mean? So they're kind of like that. Jim, this is a question for you. Can we connect on your Facebook site like we do here? Yeah. You know, that's something I kind of apologize for. I set that group up and, you know, I just kind of did it just on a whim. I didn't really have any real plan for it. But I should do that because, well, you guys, hey, first of all, you guys can all friend each other. So if you go in that group, PYT Thrive, you should be able to find each other. I'll write something. I'm just going to start posting more in there. I guess I'm kind of shifting a few things around the way I'm doing things. But if you guys go in there, you should see each other and you can just private message each other or, you know, connect up. So you can do that. But I'll start posting some more stuff in there. Anyways. And then we can all, we'll all be in there anyways. Oh, look at that, Connie. Yeah, that's a great idea. Try getting up and down from a chair or sofa while rolling back on your heels and lifting with your toes. It uses your glutes more than lower back. Yeah, super. That's what I mean, right? I mean, literally, if you adopt this mindset, like getting out of a chair can become an exercise. You know what I mean? If you're mindful with it and you're intentionally using certain muscles. So I'm glad you wrote that, Connie. That's really good. And that's the idea. You just want to look for all the opportunities because they're all around you. And so, like I said, hey, listen, if you're a person who loves going to the gym and working out, then you really don't need a lot of this, right? You just already do it. But a lot of people aren't like that. I'm like that. I do not like going to the gym. And so it's always a struggle. I get motivated sometimes and I'll do it. I kind of get into it for a little bit, but it's just never really lasted long for me. And I don't really want to do it. So, you know, that's why I say that, you know, this is really for people that don't like the gym. There's alternatives. I mean, it's not just about that. So Connie Ray goes, yeah, I was going to use that, but I'm bad with Facebook. Right. I'm kind of bad with Facebook too, to be totally honest. I'm not much of a Facebook person. And so when I put these groups together, great, I figured out how to do it, but then I'm just never really go on Facebook much. So anyways, we'll try and figure it out. But yeah, you guys can definitely connect up on there anyways. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You guys are a real good crew because you guys are all very, have a lot of similarities. So great. All right, everyone. Well, have a great time. Again, Halloween's tomorrow, so have fun with that. Remember, I was going to do a lesson on Halloween candy, but I didn't want to. But basically, I just want to remind you this. Manage the expectations. You know, that there's 10 pounds of candy in my house right now, you know, and because I waited anyways. I did wait to get it till this weekend. I got one of those bags from like BJ's, well, a couple of those bags from BJ's. One of them's called like Chocolate Town. So I keep joking my family that we're going to Chocolate Town. And we've been going to Chocolate Town the last couple of days. But so again, have fun with it. Remember, one of the things you can test, now I'm not saying you can do this, but it's an option, it's what I do, is I know that I will have a hard stop, you know, it'll probably be next week or probably be the end of next week, and if I had to guess, where all the candy gets tossed out. So anyways, if you eat some candy, if you don't, that's fine too, by the way, that's always an option, you know that. But if candy's around and you feel like you're struggling with it, instead of trying to go nothing, I can't eat any of it, I'm not going to eat any of it, if I eat any of it, I'm going to eat all of it. Another option is, you know, I'll have two pieces. I'll have a couple pieces. And then again, you kind of have a hard stop, you know, could be the end of this weekend, could be the end of next weekend. It's whatever you're comfortable with. But one of the other alternatives that is available to you, and again, this is for people that aren't addicted to candy. But if you're not addicted to candy, it's a nice opportunity to kind of practice moderation, right? And so I got this candy all around me, and I'm eating, obviously I never eat candy, but I'm eating some of it, you know, like again, 2-3 pieces, you know, a night. And I know that for some people, that's 2-3 pieces. That'd be glorious if I could just do that. So again, everyone's in their own spot with it all. But again, if, I know. I hear you, Pat. I get you. You know, I used to be the same way. So again, if anything, I hope this could serve as a commercial for you that, you know, as you walk down this path, you can have control over candy, but sometimes you can't. You know, there's certain things that people just never can have around. I'm like that. The freaking Fig Newtons. I was shown once again who's boss in that relationship. I think I've told this story, but I remember last year, my wife, for some reason, she brought Fig Newtons home. And I remember I went in and I was like, oh, Fig Newtons. And it was nighttime. I never eat at night. And I ate the whole thing that night. And then somehow the Fig Newtons ended up at my house again last week. And so I don't know, Fig Newtons and me. I don't think I could ever have those in the house. I can't remember the name of the Facebook group. It is PYT Thrive. Connie says the email on peanut butter cups. Yeah, right. I know. It's that's always helpful. And I always hold that in my back pocket. So Pat, remember that. I don't know if you saw the email, but one of the good ones is to look at the ingredients. You know what I mean? So any candy you're really struggling with, go read the ingredients of it. And that kind of breaks you out of the trance a little bit. And see what they do. And then you can even literally Google what some of those things are. There are a lot. It's gross, you know, just honestly. But again, if you want to enjoy it for a little bit, you can do that too. You know, so again, I'm kind of pulling away a little bit from the ingredients, and just enjoying them a little. But again, I know next week, I've done this a number of years now where I know, you know, I just kind of taste it. But anyways, I just share that with you. So yeah, it's PYT Thrive. What I will suggest, if you go on Facebook, if you go to that group, you can go to your groups, and it'll be listed there on how many groups you're part of. And then you, the easiest thing is to do is to add it to favorites. And so then it'll be on your left sidebar, and it's easier to find. Yeah. And if you guys post stuff there, that's cool. You know what I mean? And, I don't know, we'll get that going. So cool. All right, everyone, have a great night. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you all next Tuesday night. Good night, everyone.